If you have your Bibles, turn there. As you're making your way, hopefully you have a friend next to you that knows where Habakkuk's at. You can just kind of elbow him and say, where the heck's Habakkuk at? I'm going to pray so it gives you a chance to look for it. I'll give you a hint. It's in the Old Testament. Gracious Father, I thank you. Lord, that song is so true. Lord, Psalm 46:1, you are my refuge and my strength, my ever-present help in trouble. Lord, there are people that are in trouble right now. They feel like they're being encamped by enemies, persecutors, maybe even their own sin. And yet all they have to do is look to you, Lord. All we have to do is look to you for the forgiveness of our sins, for the hope of eternity found in you, Jesus. Thank you. God, I'm asking that you would speak for me today. That truly this would be a message that, Lord, you would bless, that the Holy Spirit would absolutely give power to these words. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. And all God's people said, amen. Habakkuk chapter 1, as I left you with a cliffhanger last week, those of you who are visiting or hopefully coming for a long period of time, we are in chapter 1, verse 5. I'll give a little bit of a summary for you, but we are in verse 5. So let me read these verses for you, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. If you don't have your Bibles, look up on the screen or check out your little bulletin that you got. But let me read these to you. The Lord's answer is this to Habakkuk. Look, among the nations and see, wonder and be astonished, astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. For behold, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings and not their own. They are dreaded and feared and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than even wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence. All their faces forward, they gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up on earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and they'll go on. Guilty men whose own might is their God. So, we had three questions last week in regards to Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And just give you a little bit of a summary there. These questions that Habakkuk were asking are some questions that no doubt you're asking in your own life. But Habakkuk specifically was dealing with the sin that was encamping him and what he was seeing. And he says, God, why are you delaying in delivering your people? We see that in verse 2. In verse 3, we saw him say, why, God, do you allow a sinful behavior to continue unpunished? Bad people are winning. Good people are losing. And then question number three found in verse 4 was this. Again, in regards to bad people seeming to win, why aren't you judging them? Why is there no justice? You're being made a fool, God. So we see from Habakkuk presently, the situation was not very good. Well, If you thought the situation wasn't good, wait for the solution. That's what we see in verses 5 through 11. Now, we've heard it a number of times if you've been a Christian for any length of time, and maybe you're still asking these questions, but why would a God who is all good, all-knowing, all-powerful, allow bad things to happen to good people? We could turn that question around, couldn't we? Why would an all-good, all-knowing, all-powerful God allow good things to happen to bad people? After all, while seeing good people suffer is horrible to watch, it's not much fun seeing evil people prosper, is it? Oftentimes people have asked, why doesn't God stop the pain? Stop the suffering. Regarding pain and suffering, C.S. Lewis said this, and he's a famous author, great theologian, but look at this quote from C.S. Lewis. He says this, pain insists upon being attended to by God. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God's plan is for someday believers in God, in Jesus Christ, to return to him. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that in the midst of our circumstances, that God's purpose is not our best life now. Do you believe that? I'm guessing the some 100,000,000 people that have bought a book saying you can have your best life now, maybe some people don't. God's best life is to come, believer in Christ. Yes, pain and suffering is sharp, but it's also a very clear tool that God uses to achieve a purpose. I got to thinking, this applies to both kids and adults. You ever got a shot? How many of you like needles? All God's people said. Do you watch any kids go to a doctor? I think the parents are in more pain than the kids, but either way, you see that needle, which is potentially meant to prevent disease or infection. Nobody welcomes this pain, but it does prevent a far greater suffering. This intolerable pain will lead to a far greater happiness. That's the end result, right? So what's God's answer to Habakkuk? He has all these questions about why. Why are you delaying? Why are you not punishing? Why there's no judgment for all these evil people and suffering and pain is existing amongst followers of God? What's God's answer? What's God's answer to you? Not just to Habakkuk. Today we see this in verses 5 through 11. You want to know what God's answer in Habakkuk is? You ready? I am working. God is not idle. Remember what we read in Exodus chapter 3? Let me remind you, as he was speaking to Moses, he says, I see. I see what's going on in Egypt. I see what's happening to my people. I hear their cries. I'm hearing it. I hear the prayers. I'm hearing it. And he says, I know their sufferings. I know. Well, so what? Right? That doesn't answer my questions, God. You see, you hear, you know. So what? Well, God wants to answer you, and he says, I'm working. I'm working. Jesus says this in John chapter 5, verse 17. I love this verse. Well, Jesus says this. He says, my Father is working, and I am working. If you know anything about the Greek literature, the Greek structure, that is a continuous work. He never stops. He's constantly working. Psalm 121, verse 3 says this in regards to God. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not sleep. God never sleeps. He doesn't need rest. He's working. That's his answer to Habakkuk. So I want to look at these two things I want you to see. And what I mean by God working. Two things. The first thing that I see is God is working behind the scenes. Look at verse 5 with me again. Look. Among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded. For I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. God is working behind the scenes. Even when it seems that God is not doing anything, he's working behind the scenes. That's what he tells us. He's telling Habakkuk, I'm working. And I've been working all along. You know, Paul in the New Testament quotes this very verse. Look with me in Acts as he's preaching at the very beginnings of the church. In Acts chapter 13, Paul quotes this very verse. He says, look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. Why does Paul quote that verse? Well, if we understand the context, I want to read verses 13, or in chapter 13, 16 through 25. So just bear with me so we understand why Paul is using this in context to where they're at today in God working behind the scenes. Look at it. It says, Paul stood up and motioning with his hands, he said, men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of his people, Israel, chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arms, he led them out of it. And for about 40 years, he would put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying seven nations in the land of Cana, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years, and after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. When he had removed him, he raised up David to be the king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart, who will do all of my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as for John was finishing his course, he said, what do you suppose that I am? Am I not he? No. But behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whom feet I am not worthy to untie. Listen to me. Paul is saying that all of the Bible talks about God working. The people in the time didn't know what the end result was going to be. They were in fear, just like we are in our circumstances, just like us in our pain and suffering. And God wants you to know. God wants me to know. God wants Habakkuk to know that just like his forefathers, God is always working. He is working behind the scenes. That even if he were to tell you all of this story, this grand story that we read by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this Bible, if he would have been told, if he would have told this, we wouldn't have believed it. God is working behind the scenes. I love the verse that Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Look at this, another verse about the promises of God working behind the scenes. He says, "For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose." God works. Notice that the verse doesn't say God causes evil and suffering. Just that he promises to cause good to emerge. Notice that the verse doesn't say that we will all see immediately or even in this life what God's purpose is. What the purpose of this bad circumstance that I'm in. We are not promised that we're going to know immediately. Remember, the scripture tells us that we see things dimly in this world. And notice that God doesn't make his promise to everyone. He makes his solemn pledge that he will take a bad circumstance that befalls any of us and good will emerge if we're committed to follow him. I love Romans chapter 13, verse 1, in reference to God working behind the scenes. You ready? "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that have existed have been instituted by God." Are you ready for what we're going to have in less than a month? Guess what? God already knows. And it'll be okay. We're going to have pain and suffering no matter who's in office. Until Jesus the King returns, there will be pain and there will be suffering, and God will work his plan. Do you believe that? See, that's the answer that Habakkuk has to know. Listen, as he's reading, or as we read, and the Lord gives Habakkuk his vision, it seems to go from bad to worse. I mean, I got to imagine Habakkuk's thinking, "Man, I've asked my questions, I've prayed, God, change these circumstances, change where I'm at, change, change, change. I know what can work. God, if you just remove this person in my life, things would be sweet." Right? We pray these things. Habakkuk's no different than us. And it's as if God says to Habakkuk, and he's saying to us, "Your circumstance will not change. It may even get worse, but I am working. I'm working. You set your hope on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. I'm working. I'm working." You know, the Bible, all throughout the Bible, talk of this story of God working behind the scenes. We look in Genesis, even in the first book of the Bible, we see Joseph going through any number of sufferings. I encourage you, if you haven't read the story of Joseph, get in your Bibles. Bible reading plan will take you through Genesis right away. And after that, then it's all free will there. But Joseph went through suffering. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was unfairly accused of a crime. He was falsely imprisoned. And after about a dozen years of all that, he comes into leading all of Egypt, basically. But he went through all this pain, all this suffering. And at the end, in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, the Word of God says this. This is Joseph's reply to all of his circumstances. He says this. He says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. See, Joseph realized that the promises of God will potentially take you through pain and suffering, and that God still wants to draw something good from that. And he will. Because he's working. He's working behind the scenes that even if he were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. So you have to have faith, don't you? So the second thing I see in this answer that Habakkuk's given, it seems to go from bad to worse. God tells him, listen, I'm working behind the scenes. And then I think the second answer Habakkuk addresses is that God is working in unexpected ways. Listen, this is what we're learning in verses 6 through 11. God is going to raise up the enemies of God. Does that even make sense? Well, it does to God. Listen, he is going to raise up the Chaldeans. This is the Babylonians. The Babylonians, as we'll read in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, are going to utterly destroy Judah. They're going to take them captive. Daniel being one of them, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all those people, they're going to be taken back to Babylon. Their cities will be utterly destroyed. They will be left with nothing. God's going to use his enemies. Not only his enemies, but these people were so ruthless. So ruthless. They had the greatest army ever assembled. They would absolutely destroy everybody and everything to produce a fear in people that would absolutely tear. If they saw them coming, you basically took off. These were the people that God was going to use. God tells Habakkuk that the Chaldeans will judge Judah. Remember, Habakkuk wants some judgment here. God said that Herod would be king, that his own people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, would deliver him to death, and the answer is yes. We see it as, and they saw it as, very unexpected. And yet God was doing his work. Back to my friend Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 18. Listen to this. For the word of cross, the word of this message in Acts chapter 4, this message that we've been sharing since the beginning of the church age, for the word of the cross, the gospel, is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This unexpected plan of redemption is the very power of God at work. Look at verses 20. As it continues, Paul says this, where is the one who is wise? Where are the scribes? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of the world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who would believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews, folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. I'm doing a lot of verses today. Praise God. Because the word of God is telling us that God is working. And sometimes we just don't understand. And sometimes it's unexpected, but God be the glory. That's what he wants us to know. That's the answer to your pain and suffering. Though we see it is unexpected, this isn't the way I would choose, God. We trust that God is working through it. In us and the people that are watching us. My dear sister Trish, she didn't know I was going to bring this up, but lost her father yesterday. I would probably say the hardest day of your life. And as I went to their living room on Saturday morning, they wanted to hear God's word. And we rejoiced in the homecoming of their father. Because you see, Jim knew Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Jim put his faith and trust in Christ in his 40s. And so as we grieve, and as Trish and Sharon grieve, they don't grieve with ones without hope. See, Jesus' plan was to give us victory over death. The greatest enemy we have is death. As the result of our sin on Jesus wiped it out. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, like Jim did, like many of you have, we grieve, but we don't grieve with ones without hope. I know Trish wants her dad back, but her hope is that she'll see him again because she has the hope of eternity. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on earth. God is working, and oftentimes in the most unexpected ways. I know it doesn't seem fair. But let me ask you, where do you find your refuge? We just sang about it in Psalm 46:1. It's a very popular verse. I love this verse, especially when we're going through any number of problems or suffering. But the answer, the refuge, is found in God. In your present trouble. Oftentimes we go through suffering and pain, not because God created suffering and pain, but He uses it to draw us closer to Him. Do you find refuge and strength in Jesus? Or are you looking to other places? Because I promise you, when the unexpected takes place, it will uncover where you find your strength. And God's desire is for you to find your strength in Him. Do you know Him? You know, during Jesus' time, if you were to know anything about history, you ever wonder why Jesus came at the time He came? I mean, it seems unexpected. And it oftentimes is, but we look back in history and we see that in 300 BC, well before Jesus entered this world, the Roman Empire had expanded. And they created over 55,000 square yards or miles, whatever, of roads called the Romans' roads. They used it to absolutely destroy countries, but it brought the world to a much closer place. So you're telling me God used the Roman Empire to establish a road system by which 300 years later, Christians would use regularly to spread the gospel faster than it's ever been spread before? God works in unexpected ways. God is working. You need the answers to your questions. So does Habakkuk. He needs his answers, and the answer is God is working. Behind the scenes and in unexpected ways, do you believe this? God's desire is for you to believe this. Isaiah says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." This is what Jesus says. This is what God says in Isaiah. "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Do you believe that? In the midst of your questions, in the midst of what you think the answer should be, do you believe this? That your answer may not be God's answer. My hope is that we would grow through our questions, that we would grow in our trust. And so as we walk out of here, I want you to just think of one thing, and I promise we're closing. We have all these questions, and we have God's answers. And sometimes we don't even like the answers. So what do we do with this? Here's your application to hearing God's answer about using, doing things behind the scenes and doing unexpected things. You ready? You need to ask God for wisdom to help you to understand this. Isn't that what James tells us? If anybody lacks wisdom, ask God. Paul says in Philippians, if we're anxious, go to God. Hebrews says we can come boldly through the throne of grace. Listen to me. The application for the follower of Jesus Christ is go to God. Ask Him for wisdom, and the wisdom will be found in this. As the Holy Spirit leads to an understanding of this, you will begin to understand the character of God and His plans for you. High Point Church, God is working. And we can rejoice in His work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You are working. And Lord, as we have questions, You have the answer. And the answer is found in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that there are people here, they have put their trust in their religion, they have put their trust in their works, they have put their trust in any number of things, but not squarely on You. They have fully never believed that Jesus, You died for them. And I'm praying, God, that You would do a saving work in their hearts today. That You would cause them to believe the unexpected plan of redemption was fully planned out by You from the very foundation of the world. God, nothing is happening on this world without an accident. Nothing is happening in this world that is an accident. You are in control, and we thank You. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Please stand as we close.